going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back here on our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard, giving you a quick update on today's picks for the Black and Gold in Round 4. It was Oklahoma linebacker Danny Stutzman going with the 112th overall selection. Also in the fourth round, Louisville corner Quincy Riley to the Black and Gold at pick number 131 overall. In the sixth, it was Kansas running back Devin Neal landing with the Saints. And then there's two more selections left on the day, both here in the seventh. Pick number 248 and number 240-54. We'll be getting to them soon. We are currently in the seventh round at pick number 229 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to take a break for our news and get back with more of our draft coverage, so stay tuned right after this on You Know What, WWL. Welcome back into our TrainSouth.com Draft Fest coverage. Steve Geller, Deuce McAllister, Mike D'Atelier, Mike Haas, and the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, wall-to-wall coverage of Saints in the NFL Draft. You can join us here at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard, the official supermarket of the Saints. Just the last pick in on the board here in the seventh round was Breshad Smith, SMU running back going to the Kansas City Chiefs. Also picked by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Central Michigan corner Dante Kent, the Detroit Lions pick is in. We're waiting on that. And after that, it'll be the Miami Dolphins on the clock. That is pick number 231. We're waiting for the Saints' first selection of round 7 at 248. And then after that, they also have the 254th overall selection with the Kansas City Chiefs wrapping things up today with pick number 257. So inching closer and closer to the end of the 2025 NFL Draft, gentlemen.
A lot going on, man. 9 picks. So are we going to news or do I have a couple of seconds?
We just caught back from news.
We did. So Bobby and I were talking about this earlier. And so I'm hesitant to say this because when I say this, they're going to trade one of these picks.
Exactly.
They got nine picks.
Say it.
No, Hoss, I want you to bring this
up. That's what I'm doing.
Because this is a good point Hoss is going to make right here.
First off, about 9 picks. You pick number 9 overall, 9 picks, won the Super Bowl in 09. So let's go with 9 being a good year. Good number, right? So to me, you got to keep all these picks. So in the last 5 years, if you just look at the NFC South in the last 5 years, the Saints have drafted 29 players, none in the top 10. In that same time span, Atlanta has drafted 37 players, 8 more, 4 of them in the top 10. They picked 8th 3 years in a row. Carolina, 36 players, 4 in the top 10. Tampa, 37 players, none in the top 10, but they also won the Super Bowl in the 2020 season. So in the last 5 years, this is just math. This is not an opinion. the other teams in your division have basically had another draft than you, right? Eight players. So maybe this is the year you keep all nine.
Yeah, when you look at what approach do you take and how you trying to, new coaching staff, what have you done previous seasons, how much hope you have, are we truly rebuilding, or where are we at? And all I know is the common sense approach, also you're saying, is that we need good young players. You ain't got to pay them, and if they produce, then listen. Ms. Gale and everybody, the one thing, if you produce in a Saints uniform, we don't have no problem rewarding you. Now, it's kind of interesting. You know, when you say the fifth-year option, like look at this. Like Mickey said, we did the press conference with Mickey Loomis. We're picking up Chris Olave's fifth-year option and Trevor Penning. We're not. Now, Trevor Penning, come on. I don't know. Trevor Penning, I mean, he might end up being – like a backup type guy. They're still going to give an opportunity to start. We got to wait and see what he's going to do. I think he got a little better at right tackle. And then Chris Olave, they are picking up his fifth option. But Chris Olave, I can understand that because he has a skill set. He could be a number of NFL's number two receivers. I don't think he's a number one. And at the number two, you are a starter. But he's damaged goods. Look at all the damn concussions. And so the Saints have picked up his fifth-year option. So that's when you look at, like, when you drafted players and younger players versus expensive veterans. And I think where we're at, we can't keep pushing the can down the road. We need a bunch of young players to work out. So I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Hoss or Deuce, whatever, the moral of the story is the more young players we have and we picking and give them an opportunity, if they can produce, that's the direction your team needs to go in the forward.
Certainly it doesn't hurt you financially.
Yeah, right.
Here's the other deal, too. You talk about finances. Why you would want to keep these two seventh-round picks, there are guys that you've been on the phone with. Hey, you know, if you don't get picked.
Like a free agent.
Yeah, we want to sign you. Okay, it's cheaper to pick you than to pay you as an undrafted free agent because of the guaranteed money that you got to do. Well, that's why you keep the seventh round
pick. The best thing that happened last year to him from Colorado State, the tight end, that he didn't get picked in the seventh round. When he got the most money out of college free agent,
Dallin Hoker, right?
If he'd got drafted in the seventh round, he wouldn't have got that over $200,000 bonus.
So the signing bonus for these two seventh-rounders this year for the Saints, roughly, their contract would be about $4.3 million. Their signing bonus is $88,261. That's the guarantee money.
Okay, 88 versus $200,000 plus by being a top college free agent.
But here's the problem. None of those contracts are guaranteed. It's just the money that is
right.
Just the signing bonus.
Yeah, the signing bonus.
But undrafted free agents, though, Deuce, I'm asking, there's more that money, if you sign them to a two-year contract, that money is guaranteed.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
The contracts aren't guaranteed. The signing bonuses are guaranteed.
I'm talking about the undrafted free agent guaranteed contract.
His signing bonus is guaranteed, not the contract.
Right.
The contract is not guaranteed.
But the signing bonus for these undrafted free agents is typically more in a lot of cases.
Yeah, because you're bidding.
It's a bidding war.
Yeah, you're bidding against the other team.
Yeah, because you're like a free agent amongst the poor men.
And you're allocated. Every team is allocated the same amount.
You're under the cap no matter what,
correct.
So to speak.
So what I'd want to do, if I'm on the back end right now, I would rather sign, if I'm a stud, like Hoker, whatever, there's always going to be players in that position. If I could sign with a team, and I'm amongst the best, and a bunch of NFL teams want me, and I'd rather be an undrafted free agent than a seven-round pick because I have to go to that team versus I have all this competition. And as far as guaranteed money, signing bonus.
But and here's the other thing, Bobby. When you're undrafted at that point, after sixth round, I want to choose.
Because I can see the roster.
I can see the roster.
And my best opportunity.
I can see the best opportunity for me to get on the field.
Right.
And so those scouts, those coaches, they're calling those players.
Right,
now,
right.
Now they put it on the head coach and the GM at the end. Man, I thought he was going to pick you. But if he don't pick you.
Yeah, we still want you.
I, I still want you.
Yeah,
you
know, that's why I'm on the phone with you. I still want you. I want to show you some love.
I want to show you some love. I'll let them work out the numbers for you as far as, you know, we'll get with your agent, but this is what I want.
Yeah.
You know, and you saw I only picked maybe two offensive linemen. I really need a guard to come in and play. And if you look at what we've done over the last couple of years, I've had three players that were undrafted that made my roster. And then normally if you know what you're doing, then you can stay on the practice squad as well, and we can continue to develop
right.
you.
Right.
So it doesn't guarantee you an opportunity on the practice squad, but you got a leg up.
Yes, exactly.
On somebody else that's not even in the building.
Exactly. And one of the other things is we're looking at the cap, right? What, we're like $27.5 million right now?
Right.
So this draft class, if they keep all nine picks – now, it's when you say the actual number, it's going to cost him more. But against the cap this year, it's less than $6 million
to sign
this draft class.
But it takes – it's really the first and second round. I mean, the other guys, the money is there, yes. But it doesn't go against the top 53. That's what – I mean, it's not even the top 53 salaries. Mike, you're making me think here. It has to go against the top – The money is allocated already.
Right.
As far as the draft money, whether it's nine, whether it's – they trade for another pick, it may go up a little bit because it's only the signing bonus that is guaranteed. But here's the thing on that part of it. You can still make a move or two, like we've talked about, to absorb a veteran that maybe, I'm not gonna even trade a draft pick now.
Because if you have, let's say you have $27 million and your draft class is going to cost you cap-wise – $6 million. You've still got $20 million to do exactly that. Do not say Aaron Rodgers to do exactly what you're talking about.
No, we moved on.
To do exactly what Deuce is talking about.
We moved on from Aaron Rodgers.
To do exactly that.
But until Monday.
He'll be back on A-Rod. But here's the other thing.
All I know is the Browns are in a better situation than us right now because of Joe Flacco.
So I got a question for you. Is there still a potential for a June –
Like, to get a quarterback?
Because Ramchek.
Ramchek will be one.
But you get a second.
You get two. Will there still be a post-June release?
I will say yes.
I would say yes, too. But Steve, this is another show.
Who are we thinking we're saying?
Yeah, no. I think so.
Okay.
Talking
about.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the clock right now.
Okay, Steve, this is another show for
us. I wouldn't think it. I wouldn't think that happens, though.
Well, I'm not saying it will, but I'm saying we didn't say it's a possibility.
You know why? It accelerates against your cap so much. Now, we would have to get some guys probably a lot smarter than me to be able to look at it and say, no, Deuce, they can do it. Technically, you're under the cap already. I mean, but how much does it accelerate?
I think it's $59 million next year, almost no matter what.
Whether it's a pre-June 1st
or a post-June, his dead cap money next year costs you $59 million.
Well, Steve, this is a show that because we're in the seventh round, and you look at free agent.
So, Bobby, I hate to cut you off.
Hold on. Let's go with this.
Do you know about the story here?
With Ted Johnson? Yes. No, I do not.
Let Deuce tell the story.
Is he a Mississippi boy?
No.
No, okay.
So Tez Johnson is a young man that is really, really close with a quarterback.
Now, from Oregon or where? No. Were you a pro or a college?
Yeah.
Bo Nix.
Basically are brothers almost. Almost like
stepbrothers.
Yes, and grew up like almost stepbrothers to him. And so –
So now he's going to be in the NFC side with the Buccaneers?
Man. Yes,
we were giving you the story background. Yes, he's getting drafted to go to the Buccaneers.
Okay.
But he and Bo basically.
Oh, yeah, look at Bo Nix right there.
Yeah, so he basically grew up just like a brother to him. I mean, basically under the wing for him.
Gotcha.
With him, the family, the whole nine. And so.
Yeah, Mr. Patrick Nix, the dad, sort of took him in as another child.
Basically as his son.
Yep.
And this goes all the way back to, Mike, and correct me, this goes all the way back to the Auburn days.
Yes.
All the way back to the Auburn days. And so I think he was at, Tez was at Troy?
Troy. He was at Troy.
He was at Troy previously.
Yes, he was.
And so he goes out to Oregon as well, you know, when Bo goes out to Oregon. And so he gets this opportunity to get drafted.
I had a stepson like that when I was growing up. You know what, my son, Bo, they won the state championship at Great Atlantic Christian. Julian Harton, Great Atlantic Christian, got a scholarship to Arkansas Razorbacks. He was with the Tennessee Titans in training camp. Now, he didn't make it. But look up Julian Harton. He's a damn he's a television star now.
It'll probably
be sure
Netflix.
Is.
Yeah, Julian Harton. But I'm just saying, it'll probably be something similar to Ted.
You always bring in kids that less fortunate and that associate with your kids.
But the problem with Ted,
he's under 160 pounds.
And people, you make a big deal about it.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's the problem.
That's skinny.
I think
he got no meat on the bone.
I was 8 years old. I was 160 pounds.
And that's the problem, and that's why he has lasted. But, I mean,
he has put up some numbers
when
now.
When you look at him on tape.
At Oregon, the Oregon Duck.
You cannot tell that, man, you know, everybody talks about they're going to kill him, they're going to hit him, they're going to hurt him.
Like they'll break him in half.
Yeah, I mean,
he looks skinny.
You got to get to him to hit him.
That part. And so he's, you know, the one guy that you worry about like that is Devontae Smith.
Ooh.
Because Devontae is like, man, he's small. That's who he reminds you of as far as the player. He is.
And listen, Devontae Smith is filled out compared to him.
Yes.
Devontae is filled out.
Yeah, he turned that corner.
No.
He's
got it now. But the problem is he don't have a lot of weight with him.
Well, the thing is, I don't want him to have it because he could be playing against the Saints. He's with Tampa Bay.
They got Egbuka and Tez.
They got a lot of weapons. You can't double team everybody.
By the way, they list his weight. 154.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
No, that's not. I mean, that's.
He looks all of 154.
I'm talking about that's with 3 pound shoes on.
154.
And now, Steve, going back to a show, seventh round and
thank you, Deuce. That was a good story.
And that was a great story, dude. And then free agents and the pros. Who has done a better job? Now, you got to look post Katrina. Because, you know, Pierre Thomas and all that.
Undrafted free agent?
Yes. Who has done a better job than the Saints? I think that's a good topic. Look at all the teams and opportunities. Well, I think the Saints, they could back up what they're selling to these young kids who didn't get drafted to become a free agent out of college. You come to us, I don't care where you were drafted. You have an equal opportunity. How many times Sean Payton has done that?
It's a philosophy that not every team shares.
Right.
Because the Saints do guaranteed money. They're the top four teams who put up that guaranteed money.
Amen.
Other teams do not believe in it much.
And that's why I think going forward, the Saints, that's why the draft is still important. Seventh and the free agents. Because like Hall's was saying, the philosophy about I want to make the damn NFL. I don't want to get a real job. I want to go where I can maybe play. And so what's a better opportunity than the Saints? Like I was saying, there's 32 teams. We won a four. We're in the hunt.
Bobby.
And then you get a diamond in the rough on the back end.
Bobby, we got another Tulane cornerback off the board.
Coming out.
Michael Robinson from Tulane, the cornerback, was just selected. And so
where is he going, Mike?
He went to the Green Bay Packers. And so we saw Caleb Ransaw go yesterday. And, you know, Michael goes in round seven today. But it was a big part of it. Bob, where is Westlake High School in Atlanta? Explain me that.
I know that ain't North Atlanta, obviously. Okay. West. I'm not familiar with that high school.
Okay.
That might be the poor folks out there. I don't know Westlake. I ain't. I'm serious. I know the rich schools in Atlanta. I'm Marist and all that, and Westminster, Wesley and all that. Buford. I'm just Westlake. I don't know. I'm being honest.
But you think about Tulane. Look at all the defensive backs they're put into the NFL. Not all of them have made it, but man, this is like two now in this draft class from Tulane that gets drafted. So, man, congratulations, because Robinson, he really played well last year. Now, Caleb, he got to go to the Senior Bowl, and so did Micah, to be honest with you. They both went, and he came in late in the process, but
Westlake's a little southeast of Atlanta.
You see, and I live in North Atlanta. That's why I don't know. That's not my stomach. I know North Gwinnett and Gwinnett, Peachtree Ridge.
Now,
and
they
all
put
that
out some players.
Yeah, yeah. Gwinnett County. See, I'm more in the northeast I-85, Gwinnett County.
That's South Fulton.
Yeah. See,
Westlake.
I'm a Nard Fulton guy. That's why. I mean, I heard of it, but I didn't want to BS you. You know, I'm gonna speak the truth. I didn't want to say, like, oh yeah, I know where that's at. No, I don't really know.
But congratulations to Michael Robinson.
Yeah, congrats.
To get in there, and again, this is like two defensive backs now. From Tulane Gage.
And how many LSU defensive backs have gotten drafted?
You can guess that real quick. Now, you know who hasn't gotten picked? I don't think yet. Zy Alexander.
No, he is still out there,
Zy,
right?
Zy has not been selected yet. But Zy came off that knee injury.
So he could be a preferable free agent, maybe? Or
Now, somebody may pick him now. He started at Southeastern Louisiana.
Right, Zy. Exactly.
And then when he came in at LSU, he was like, hey, clear the field, guys. I'm here.
And he
became an instant starter, but then he messed up his knee late in the game and never quite was the same. But Zy's a guy, if he's healthy, he can play at the next level.
It's amazing LSU defensive backs, you know, and you got Patrick Peterson, Honey Badger, and I went on and on. And then
Eric Reed.
And then Trey White.
Maurice Claiborne.
You go on and on. All of a sudden, it was like out of sight. It was like DBU turned into DB
Wide receiver you now.
No, yeah, it was DB Poo. And it was like, now it's wide receiver.
Now, guys, I can tell y'all why. 7-on-7 changed the world in Louisiana high school.
They want to play receiver instead of DB, Mike?
Yeah, because I go to a lot of these camps on 7-on-7. You know, that deal is, man, I don't want to play no defense. I want to be a receiver or a tight end.
Yeah.
Pick number 239 is in for the Dallas Cowboys. We are awaiting the Saints. Two picks in round 7, 248 and 254. Taking a break here on WWL, our TrainSouth.com Draft Fest coverage. We'll be back with more right after this.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This seventh round action in full swing. Welcome back to the TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest. Steve Geller with Deuce McAllister, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, and Mike Hawes, our wall-to-wall coverage. Getting ready to close out here as we inch towards the finish line. Come and join us at Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard, the official supermarket of the Saints. Denver Broncos pick is in. We're waiting on that. After that, the LA Rams, Baltimore Ravens, Detroit Lions, Washington Commanders, New York Giants, Dallas Cowboys. And then the Saints' first of two seventh-rounders at pick number 248 will be taken. And then the second seventh-round selection is at 254 overall. Curious to see where the Denver Broncos go here, guys. Some of the best fits I'm seeing for them at CBS Sports is Elijah Huzzy, a cornerback from UNC, Clay Webb, an offensive lineman from Jackson State, and LSU corner Zy Alexander. Would be interesting to see if Sean Payton ends up taking two LSU players in this draft. Saints fans would lose their minds, I think.
Right. Zy, I mean, is also one of the best fits for the next team, the Rams. he's probably a best fit for a lot of teams moving forward. It's interesting.
Looking at this draft as we're winding down, like I mentioned, the Saints have picked 248 and 254 left to go. Is there that big wide receiver they end up going at or a tight end in this draft? Mike Dettillier also mentioned some depth on the offensive line.
Wasn't Kansas City supposed to have Mr. Irrelevant?
They do have Mr. Irrelevant.
I think New England's in that spot now. New England's at 257, unless I missed something.
You're right. No, I do see a trade that did go down from Kansas City. New England is at 257 now.
People trading into the Mr. Irrelevant spot now. What in the world has happened?
No, Andy Reid was, man, I got hamburgers to eat.
That's right.
I got to get them trading
out.
Yeah, I got a cheeseburger.
Then New England trading in.
I'm out of there.
Yeah, don't see any details on what exactly involved.
I just looked down and said, I saw New England. I was like, what? Saints four picks away from what I don't even like to call it Mr. Irrelevant anymore after Brock Purdy.
And, man, they treat you good. Man, they got a parade for you. It's a big thing
now.
You
get to go to Disney?
Oh, yeah, it's almost a Disney deal.
I like that.
The pick
like
for
that.
The Denver Broncos is Utah tight end Caleb Lohner.
Yeah, and he's one of the guys, and we talked about Luke Lachey. Yeah, he's more the pass catcher. Lachey's more the blocker. That's still available at this point if they're looking maybe at a tight end. But one of the tight ends they really like from Nebraska, he was the number one rated tight end in the country coming out of high school, got hurt. And the Saints had brought him in. He was one of the visit guys, but I saw he just got selected, I think maybe 20 picks ago. So that's an area. Big receiver, yes, tight end, offensive line.
6'8", 241, basketball player.
Former basketball player, and that's the type of guy you're looking for, an athlete.
Seam route.
That maybe you can turn into a tight end. Now, how many guys are going to be able to match up with him if you run him in the red zone? Now, you got to learn how to catch it and run a route. But he is a big target dude. So he's big target guy.
He's the 14th tight end to go. So we knew, and defensive tackle is going to be just a.
Unbelievable.
I'm going to check that number out next. But we knew where the strength was, running back, tight end, defensive tackle. That's the 14th tight end to go.
And the running backs have made a run recently, too.
Yeah, let's see.
And so that's a spot where.
They're not going to count.
Oh, that we saw a big run on was at running backs later in this draft, especially today. You saw the run on the running backs. And Zay Alexander from LSU, the cornerback, and had he not had the knee injury, he'd be selected by now. But we've talked about him, but that's also some other guys, teams out there. I think they would be interested in Zay.
What did we start today? We said we had four running backs taken in
yesterday.
Two and three, right?
Yep.
There's 24 taken so far now total. So
total?
Today, yeah. So, but happened, what did two go?
Today?
Yeah. No, from the all rounds. So we had four on Friday. What do we have on Thursday? Two.
No, you only had two on Thursday.
Right, so that's six. So 18 have gone today.
Yeah, and I thought yesterday, Friday, you would have anywhere between 10, between two second and third round. Right. I thought you would have about 10 and 12 taken.
Average has been 18.
Yeah, you know, heavy on the defensive line, the depth, and you know, talk about running back. And light on cornerbacks, but I think we got a damn good cornerback. I think light on cornerbacks, the guy we got, you know, it only takes one. Do you have the right one? And I'm telling you, bang for your buck, considering where we drafted, Mike, you look at value. I think a value in both the linebacker and the cornerback.
Garrett Dellinger.
From LSU?
Who has played tackle. He's played guard. He was just selected by the Baltimore Ravens. 24 starts. Now, he's played mostly left guard at LSU, but he did play some tackle. They actually put him at center for a while, too, but mostly that left guard spot. And so, man, congratulations to Garrett Dellinger, Michigan guy. Come on down to Louisiana. He was the guy Coach O and his crew recruited to Louisiana. And he started a lot of games at left guard for LSU.
I don't know if y'all think this way, but to me, if you can make a team and you want to be around the winners, I want to be on the Ravens. Wouldn't you be shocked if the Ravens aren't relevant? Now, I'm not saying they're always going to be this way, but it seems like John Harbaugh, they always relevant. I was talking about that yesterday. So I'm like, if I'm getting drafted, if I can make the team, now a lot of competition. But if you're on that team, you know you're going with a supporting cast, and, Mike, they got some studs on that team.
Think about it. LSU, four offensive linemen selected in one draft class.
They
weren't what you want to call a dominant offensive line last year.
No, but we thought they underachieved because they couldn't damn run block. Now we pass block, all right. Now, it's just like, man, why can't we run the ball if we got all these guys? Like, it was a shame. I mean, but yeah, scheme, whatever, and then how you trying to do things. It could be the running back combination. But for many as potential, maybe when they get the most out of them. With the offensive line, and now you're playing in the NFL, but LSU couldn't run the ball like they should have.
They were not a power run team exactly. Like you would have thought they would have been. And this year, that's the big question mark. Which five guys? Because DJ Chester, will they move in the guard? Can he hold off the former Virginia Tech center that's come in here? Josh Thompson's come here from Northwestern. So that's a big overload when you lose four guys and four guys go to the NFL.
And, you know, it's all about can you produce at the NFL level? You can be like, oh, I was a stud in high school. Okay, you're a stud in high school. Can you do it in college? Oh, then I was a stud in college. Now, can you do it in the pros? So it's a continuous process. Okay, if I were to tell you that there, you know, there's 32 teams, there's not 32 starting quarterbacks. We always say that. There's like, let's say 18 to 20 starters. So there's at least a dozen of quarterbacks. A team's always looking for their next quarterback, the way the NFL is. Okay, if I would have told you last year that a quarterback threw for basically 4,000 yards and 28 touchdowns and 11 interceptions, how in the hell he cannot have a job? Okay, well, what number? What? Okay, he had 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and he threw for 4,000 yards. Okay, wouldn't you think for sure he has a job in 2025? Well, that's Aaron Rodgers. It ain't over, Aaron Rodgers. I don't care what y'all say. Mike.
No.
Aaron Rodgers has to land somewhere, because if you look how he finished the season.
Bob, it's Pittsburgh. I would have to think that there's sort of an agreement there that's not on paper.
That he's going to come there in training camp.
They had a long conversation before the draft. Pittsburgh had numerous opportunities to draft
earlier. Right.
If they chose to.
Right, and they didn't.
They took Will.
Yeah.
Will Howard.
Will Howard. Late, but he ain't no freaking Aaron Rodgers.
So, I mean, that kind of, if we put the puzzle together.
Yeah. But, dude, you know what I'm talking about? It's not like he did this 2 or 3 years ago. This was on the latter part of the season, and I just look at production. I don't care who you are. You're a veteran or you're young. All I know is if you threw for 4,000 yards in this day and age, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, you got a damn job. If you want to work. Now, the money, I don't know.
The other question is, you just said it, if you want to.
Yeah, you want to, right.
You're not always sure with Aaron.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're never always sure.
Like retire or whatever, but you want to play. But I'm just saying there's not enough quarterbacks. And if we had anybody else would have those kind of numbers production, think of a hot commodity how we'd be. Now, you know, Aaron's a little flaky. You know, we all know that. But, I mean, I'm just looking at the numbers and how he produced.
I think, Bob, he's at a stage of his life. He's pick and choose.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, I think his deal is he would have a lot of other people interested in him if he wanted to go somewhere else. But I think he's picking and choosing at this stage.
Right. And, you know, I think the supporting cast. But I wasn't even talking about it. You know what caught my attention to Aaron Rodgers when he's on the damn Pat McAfee show, and he's all of a sudden saying, I don't know if he's just blowing smoke, I'll play for the Saints for $10 million. I'm like, what? No, he didn't say $40 million. I'm like.
But not just the Saints, just any team right now. Right?
Oh, yeah,
he wasn't saying I want to play for New Orleans.
But like,
he didn't mention the Saints.
But I'm saying $10 million. Okay, when I look at that, I'll play with. Then you got to make that phone call. That's why I told Mickey, it was the bottom line. You got to make that phone call, whether it's positive or negative, whatever. But you have to at least, poke the bear or something. Like, hey, what's up? Like, whoever, Aaron, I mean, you want
$10
million?
I don't even have to talk to Aaron. I talk to his agent.
Exactly. $10 million? I almost think like all 32 teams will want Aaron Rodgers for $10 million. Now, he might be too disruptive in the locker room and all that. Come on, you grown-ass men. Aaron Rodgers is going to tell you what to do. So what? Even wants to drink mushrooms or whatever. I mean, go do what you got to do. Just perform when it counts. Now, I'll tell you, the worst thing happened to Aaron Rodgers when he went to the Jets, and what was the third or fourth play, and he blew out his Achilles.
Yep.
I'll tell you, when that happened.
At that age.
Exactly. When you old and you get hurt, that's when it's like, that is not good. But, you know, to his credit. Now, he had a lot of adversity in New York, a lot of pressure whenever you're playing the Jets or the Giants. He didn't do good at the beginning of last year. He didn't give up the ghost. I'm telling you, Steve, how many times I even texted it. Look what he did the last 8 games. And, again, look at those numbers. Aaron Rodgers. And, again, the only reason why we even talk about Aaron Rodgers is because of his age, because there's not enough quarterbacks.
We see that with Flacco, right?
Everybody, yeah, that's why Flacco still has a job. Andy Dalton. Look, Andy Dalton. Carolina couldn't wait to bring Andy Dalton back, even though they got little Bryce. You know, they want Bryce to work out. But Andy Dalton brings stability. That's right. Now, we don't have stability because we don't know about Derek Carr. I would feel so much better if Derek Carr, the damn shoulder, and how that came about. I'm not saying Derek Carr is the future, but for to us to win next year, if we had Derek Carr, say, oh, well, we could be hovering around 500, maybe getting into the postseason, upsetting Tampa Bay to win the NFC South. But we don't have that veteran experience right now. No, I don't know what's going to happen. Well, Bobby, everybody has to start out somewhere. What are they going to do? Look at Jane Daniels. Well, he didn't have no track record, but you could tell me we have Jane Daniels and the Saints? Come on.
We got the Giants pick is in, then it's the Cowboys, and then Saints finally. So
the other thing is that's why I would never count out Kirk Cousins. Because last year coming off the Achilles, man, he didn't look the same. But now he's over a year from the Achilles injury, and I think you will see a better movement guy from Kirk Cousins than you did last year.
And Kirk Cousins, y'all might be able to help me out where he got hurt or what he hurt. He was unbelievable for a month. Look at that game against Tampa Bay when Atlanta beat Tampa Bay.
All his yards came against the two games against Tampa Bay. Exactly.
Yes, yeah, and then all of a sudden he hit a low. I'll tell you, I think his arm, he got hurt.
Against the Saints?
Now, was it against the Saints? I don't know. Yes, he got hurt.
It was against the Saints.
All of a sudden, he goes from the penthouse to the outhouse.
You want to know who hit him?
Who's that dude? What happened? Deuce, tell me, because I remember.
Peyton Turner.
Peyton Turner.
Oh, Peyton Turner. Yeah, he finally did something. Peyton Turner finally did something.
It was shoulder and elbow for Kirk.
And then look at the games after that. Peyton,
well, it was not the same.
He couldn't have no mustard on the ball.
He was hurt and didn't want to admit it. He admitted it later on, but it was too late.
He was trying to play hurt, and he couldn't get no mustard on the ball. He was getting picked and stuff.
You know why? He didn't want the young kid to come in.
Right.
All right, Bobby.
We're never going to get
your favorite team,
back.
The Dallas Cowboys, about to pick, and then it's the Saints.
No. Favorite team I love to hate, the Dallas Cowgirls. And I love, like, the NHL Dallas Stars. I don't care. You know, they don't bother me, the Rangers,
all right,
Mavericks.
Pick in for Dallas. The Saints are on the clock now.
Yeah, so.
Dominic Lovett. That's Missouri.
Yeah, sure enough.
Yeah, Missouri.
So where did he go, Deuce?
Dallas.
Was it to Dallas?
Well, I don't. Maybe it's the pick ahead.
Yeah.
No, that was
no. Pick ahead.
Pick ahead of that.
I'm sorry.
Was that the Lions or some of that?
That would have been.
Dominic Lovett did go to the
Lions.
The Lions.
244 is a few picks ago.
Okay.
Then Jacoby Crossett, McCroskey Merritt, then the Giants win Corey Black, and now it's Dallas, and then
so Dallas. Then we on the clock, right?
Yep. Well, yeah. Pick is in. We're on the clock.
Yep. So, listen, it's always a great day in America when we want to be relevant, the Who Dat Nation, the Saints. But if we're not relevant, as long as the damn Cowgirls aren't relevant. I don't even like the Washington Commanders or the Eagles. I don't really like it. The New York Giants, come on, I hate the big cities. I mean, New York, I know. But let me tell you, if we ain't winning, and that's why ain't no smack like a Cowgirl fan will come up to you, boy, y'all really struggling. What are you talking about? Well, you better look in the mirror. We kicked your ass. I mean, do y'all remember week two when we went to Dallas? Look at that game. We thought we were going to the damn Super Bowl. Could we have a greater start to a season? I don't think in the history of the Saints. What we did against Carolina and Dallas, Hoss, we averaging like 50 points a game.
Mike will tell you his co-host didn't think so.
But it was unbelievable. It was like a fantasy.
He says, there's no way you keep this up.
There's no way that you keep this up. There's no way that you keep this up. I said, it's a long, long season, and then the bottom falls
the
out.
The bottom
falls. Didn't fall out.
1 week later.
And yeah, then McCoy gets hurt. The Eagles,
you
yes.
had a chance against the Eagles. That's the crazy part. You really had a shot.
Yeah, bigger than a chance. Should have won the damn game.
Until we run into each other.
You talk about all fell apart to me. Yeah, that McCoy injury, it was all downhill from there.
Yeah, and then we still had a chance at the end.
Because the
Eagles
had
to score a touchdown. Then Howland and all that. And the Honeybat, they all run into each other. And I still blame Howland.
They go miss.
Yeah, and it's like, what the? Because it's under 2 minutes. Listen, a field goal ain't going to win it. They got to score a touchdown. So, bend but don't break. You don't give up the damn touchdown. Oh, we got it. What did he ran for, like 60-some yards? It's like, what the? I almost jumped out the press
box. Shallow cross.
When that happened, I almost jumped out the press box.
66-yard shallow cross.
I was so disheartened. I go, you got to be freaking kidding me. And then look, now, I'm not saying we're better than the Eagles, but that day we should have been, because at the end the Eagles were rolling. But when
Pick
I look
is in now for the Dallas Cowboys, Tommy Akinbate, defensive lineman from MD.
From Maryland?
Maryland, yeah.
Okay.
He's a big dude in the middle now. Bobby,
6'4", 306.
The Saints didn't pick him with that net last night. Oh, he ain't from Cooling Meadow or from Dulac or nothing.
I would just call him Tommy A. I could say Tommy. Look at that last name. It got like 14 letters in it, 15 letters.
Seeing here best fits for New Orleans, according to CBS Sports, Isaiah Baum, wide receiver out of Texas, Zay Alexander, LSU corner, or Jackson State offensive lineman Clay Webb. They haven't been doing too good, though, the CBS tracker.
No, Isaiah Bond.
No, you're right.
Isaiah Bond would have been picked long ago. He's got an off-the-field issue that he has been dealing with. So, we've seen stuff like that happens to you. And when it happens, man, it sinks you like the Titanic.
I want to ask Deuce, whenever I see that Mississippi connection, who's the guy CBS said from Jackson State, Deuce? You know that Mississippi boy?
Offensive lineman.
Yeah, you don't know.
Is in for the Saints.
Okay, yeah.
The
and of course, they're taking a break, so I have to do it on the computer.
What do y'all think? What would you want if you just like it? Pick anybody. I mean, do y'all have a horse? You have an idea?
I'd get a tight end.
Yeah, I mean, at this point,
I don't know.
It's hard, Bobby.
Yeah. Throw some, maybe a local prospect that.
Looking here, a best available, Jaren Ivey, a Logan Brown, Isaiah Bond.
Okay, who's. Like I heard Ivey. Seemed like I heard that name.
Edge out of Mississippi.
He's Ole Miss guy.
Ole Miss guy.
Yep.
Malachi Mustavio, tight end, UCLA.
Well, Ivey, I don't know.
He can catch the ball now.
That's who John Hendricks says.
Okay.
It's him. Man, he is a really good player. He can catch the football. He's a big target wide receiver playing tight end.
UCLA
tight end, Malachi Mustavio, 6'6", 260.
Yeah, he is a huge target guy, but he is much more the receiver
than the blocker. Man, damn blocker. So what about Ole Miss Ivy? Because I still say it's good if you have the interior, but we need a double-digit sack getter from the outside, the DN. I mean, we need to have somebody produce in that regard. Cam Jordan, obviously, you can't have those expectations. And then, we just gave him the money. I can't think of
Chase Young.
Chase Young. Okay, Chase Young, he gets a lot of quarterback hurries, a lot of quarterback hits. But does he finish with double-digit sacks? So that's one area we got to do better. Peyton Turner's gone. Could Ivy contribute maybe a handful of sacks?
He's a guy that can play inside and outside. He's used to that 3-4. I mean, okay. he can slide inside as a tackle, and then obviously he can kick out on rundowns.
Bob, I'll tell you, with Malachi from UCLA, last year he caught 41 passes for UCLA. He had really not put up a lot of numbers because the 3 years before, he only had like 33 catches.
It looks like we might have gone that direction. Maybe.
Yeah.
It's Mustavio. He's from Nevada. Is how they recruited him. But last year, catching 41 passes. But, man, he is all of 6'6", 260 pounds.
So he looks the part. he looks like a tight end.
Now
a big tight end.
That quarterback play.
You're pretty good, Mike. Henderson, Nevada.
Yeah.
That's right out of Las Vegas.
He went to Oregon.
Yeah, and so he was a
transfer. That's a poor man's casino in Henderson.
So he was a transfer guy. He started at Oregon, didn't get a lot of playing time because of Terrence Ferguson, so he goes to UCLA instead. And he was a big part of their offense last year. I got to watch him quite a bit when he played against LSU. LSU had some difficulties trying to match up against him because, you got a 6'6" guy running downfield, and he can run. I mean, he's got some speed on him. So, again, it's a pass-catching tight end that they bring in.
Well, a big target. Again, who's going to be throwing to him? We have to wait and see. But
a little on the scouting for, like you said, Mike, we're a reliable pass catcher, solid hands, and enough burst to be a threat after the catch.
Yeah, and last year, it's really when he pieced it all together because he had eight starts. He played in 11 games, but 41 catches, 506 yards, averaged 12.3 yards a catch, two touchdowns. Again, starting at Oregon, he did not really kind of hit the high notes there, but he was, I remember, he was a super highly recruited tight end. I don't know if he wasn't the number three or four ranked tight end in the country when he came out. And because you know why? I watched him play in the Polynesian Bowl. He was there, and I can recall, man, they talked it up about him and his play at Oregon. He put up some huge numbers at the high school level. Didn't quite do that, certainly, in college. But you can see the athleticism with him. He was a consensus four-star recruit and ranked, I think, in some services, either at the fourth, fifth, or sixth best tight end in the country when Oregon signed him.
So, Mike, how do you say his last name?
Matavau. You remember a few segments ago, St. Sideline reporter Jeff Nowak called his pick.
Good job, Jeff. Yeah, good job. I can tell you what, you know where he put the hay in the barn?
Hmm.
I was reading where he became more consistent as a receiver in a breakout 2024 season. So, you know, timing.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He really didn't
right
do anything
season,
until this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, the right. You know, that's when you want to have a breakout season. Not 2 years ago, but whatever you do, and all of a sudden you catch everyone's attention.
Okay, physically, if you would put them next to one another, you know who he looks like? The guy that's in Philly right now. He looks, now I'm not trying to compare talent.
Like the Goddard?
Isn't he built just like Dallas Goddard? You pull up the numbers of what he measured in at and what Goddard measured in at, and there is that comparison there. And think about your linebacker coach had to go up against him. You know, he was, linebacker coach at University of Cal, yeah. And so he saw him.
He's familiar with him.
At UCLA. He saw him at Oregon. And so you know a lot about that background of him as a player.
The Saints actually just sent out a Connect pronunciation on
give
our media app.
They tired of us messing it
Maliki
up.
Matavayo. Thank you,
that's
Mike.
What it is. Matavayo.
Matavayo. I got to give him a nickname.
Maliki Matavayo.
Maliki. Just call him Maliki.
Maliki.
I can remember Maliki instead of, I remember that, like, instead of Malik Nabers, I'm going to put the key on it. So Maliki. So that's how I remember. That's how I remember his name.
Okay,
because then like Malik Nabers, but now we got a Maliki.
Maliki Matavayo.
Matavayo.
And that's harder than a French.
I-E-E-Y-E.
That's some Hoss going to have to.
I'm not complaining. We got a Kelvin, Tyler, Vernon, Jonas, Danny, Quincy, Devin. I was going to get one. I'm okay.
Yeah, that's it.
We got one more pick.
So it'll be interesting now because this is always intriguing. Steve, we still have one more pick, right?
Yep. Correct. We're waiting on San Francisco 49ers right now, then the Dolphins, and then it's the Saints.
Yeah.
We're at 254.
Come on, baby.
And then, let's go, baby. And what's crazy about this, though, that it ain't over for the Saints. And how they're burning the midnight oil on the phone. They're on the phone right now.
Oh, the oil's already been burned.
The college free agents.
It's been burned already.
You know what I mean? Okay, I'm telling you, I always like that list when they come up. Because you want to look, because we always look at, okay, who's your dark horse? Who's your dark horse? How these free agents? Because how we love these college free agents.
Okay,
who
Bob,
can make the team?
You, I think you might beat him in the 40-yard dash. He ran a 4.81.
Oh yeah, for sure, I beat him. I ran a 4.72, 4.74. So in the 40, that ain't fast. Come on, but I mean, it's fast for a quarterback, straight ahead, not juking nobody, just straight line.
But, you can see his athleticism. And it just finally caught up, everything pieced together for him last year as a receiver. And I remember in the kind of lead up to the UCLA game when they played LSU, we talked a lot about him, about a guy that, okay, you can't miss him at 6'6". Well, come on, you got to get him the football. But that quarterback play was all over the board.
Mike, who is the damn tight end that burned LSU when the coach was saying that UCLA had that sissy blue?
Greg Dulcich.
That's who they compare him to.
Yeah, that's why you said that.
That's who they compare him to.
That's why when I hit that, I was like thinking, God, it's like,
I got something.
Can we cover this tight end?
No, he was open all day, and he's still open against LSU.
So we had the Patriots that drafted. I mean, the Broncos drafted a punter, correct?
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots drafted a kicker, correct?
Yep. Right. Yep.
The Patriots just drafted a long snapper.
Whoa. Hey, either you got one or you don't.
You don't. There is no gray area.
Yep. And guess what there? Those are the ones that you never really pay attention to.
Right.
Until a punt is messed up and blocked.
That's what I'm saying.
Or a field goal is blocked because the snap was high or it was a bad snap.
Well, you don't know his name last year.
They probably really bad.
Dad, you got a deep snapper and then
draft him.
Oh, yeah. So that means last year they looking at that film.
Julian Ashby out of Vandy.
We were way too inconsistent.
Yeah. You drafted a kicker
and a deep snapper. No, that means if you look at that special teams film for the Patriots, they were like, man, we got to be 100 out of 100. We can't be like 90 out of 100 or inconsistent. That's when you're kind of desperate, dude. It's like, come on, we drive.
I don't even know if it's desperate. It just shows you that
inconsistency.
Yeah, it's inconsistent, and they want a guy. I mean, because most of those guys, long snappers, 12 years?
Oh, heck yeah!
And they last a long time.
I mean, the young man that was with the Eagles forever, that Dr. Amos, I think it was almost 17, 18 years, and he was just a long snapper. Most of those guys, they don't play any other position. It used to be you would be a backup tight end or...
Man, you know who did that too? Trey Junkin. He played forever.
For Louisiana Tech.
Yes.
And he was with the Raiders, and then with the Giants, he had that bad snap in the playoff game. And that's all they remember him. And he was unbelievable. Mike,
Saints next pick is in.
He married a girl from Manny.
Yes, he did.
Trey Junk, you know, I mean, I never forget this. I still keep in touch with him. A deep snapper with Atlanta, Harper LaBelle, Colorado State. And he knew he was a tight end, but he was a deep snapper.
Most of them, they don't have another position.
Deuce,
it's a specialty.
He wasn't playing tight end because we ran the run and shoot. we never used a tight end. So even though they had his position tight end, he was just a deep snapper.
Think about Matavayo. He led UCLA in catches with 41 catches.
Wow.
Led him in receptions.
Come on. Who's the quarterback?
That's exactly what I was telling you.
Well, Deshaun's the head coach, and he's going to have to do a lot better than that.
Yes, indeed. And it's Zeke Biggers from Georgia Tech.
The big guy, 321 pounds.
So Zeke Biggers is the pick. Is it Fadell Diggs?
Yeah, Fadell.
The edge rusher from Syracuse that gets picked.
Miami had Biggers before.
Right. Okay. So he went Dolphins.
And so now it's Fadell Diggs. Last year, 45 tackles, 14 tackles for losses, 7.5 quarterback sacks for Syracuse.
Well, if he can come as a rookie with the Saints and be in that rotation and get 6-7 sacks, I think he's doing his job.
Doing more than his job.
Yeah. Right.
As a team last year, we had 7.5.
That was the leading.
That was the lead.
And that was interior.
And guess where
that was Brian Brzee.
And guess where he started? Texas A&M. And he was, and then he played 1 year at Syracuse. Guess what, Mike? Three-time captain.
There you go.
Oh, we like
three-time captain.
We like those captains.
Ran a 4.5.
That's value. To my value.
4.5.
So what? Did he get in trouble off the field? Something that he lasted? That's not like those numbers. What would happen with him,
Bob? Not only that, you know, and he's from New Jersey. He was the Gatorade Player of the Year.
That's one of his homeboys.
There you go.
Gatorade Player of the Year there.
6'4", 257.
And so, man, my thing is, I know how he got there when you go to A&M.
Oh, they paid him.
Money.
Yeah. But he came from Jersey to A&M.
He went to A&M first, and then he played the 1 year at Syracuse, went back home.
Yeah, went in the Northeast and stuff. So A&M, a lot of competition there. But
they got an all-star defensive line, but none of them stayed. Not all of them left, but I would say three-quarters. And the guy I talked about, Luke Lachey, he just got picked out of Houston, Texas.
Luke Lachey, that's right.
We talked about tight end, and Luke was one of the guys who brought up in the conversation.
So where'd he go? To Ravens?
Houston.
No,
Houston Texans.
Okay.
There's your blocker right there.
That's what I was saying.
From Iowa.
Yeah, yeah.
But he can catch, too.
But yeah, but
what about Jack Stoll? Is he one of the blocking tight ends they brought?
He's definitely a blocking.
He didn't even got no catches, very very many of them.
But think about this: that last year, in that one year, Fidel, he led the team in tackles for losses with 14, and in sacks seven and a half.
Well, hey, listen, we need to get after the opposing quarterback, and not just quarterback hurries, quarterback hits. How about we get him down on the ground?
Steve, where's Woodrow Wilson High School in Jersey?
That I don't know, honestly.
That's like Westlake for Bobby?
It must have been South.
I'll have to look it up at the break, guys. UCLA tight end Maliki Mantavayo going to the Saints with their first seventh-round selection. Then it was Syracuse edge Fidel Diggs going at 254 overall. We're taking a break. We'll be right back with more of our TrainSouth.com WWO DraftFest coverage, so stay tuned after this.
I don't remember.
We're back here on our TrainSouth.com DraftFest coverage, Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. Now happy to welcome in the newest member of the Black and Gold, Maliki Mantavayo, welcome in. How you doing? And congratulations on getting drafted by the Saints.
I'm doing awesome. Thank you. You know, excited for this opportunity.
Just so you know, we are going to be talking with the voice of the Saints, Mike Hawes, our draft analyst, Mike Dettillier, Saints legendary quarterback, Bobby Hebert. First up, though, All-Pro legendary running back, Deuce McAllister, and color analyst for the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Deuce, what you got for Maliki?
Maliki, I just want to hear you say your name for us because they sent it out to us, but I just want to hear you say it, and then do you have a nickname?
Yeah, I got you. Maliki Mantavayo. I just go by Mo.
Mo!
Bobby, you got that one. You got that one, Bobby.
I love your nickname.
Maliki Mantavayo, but I go by Mo. So, Mo, congratulations. And, you know, just tell us a little bit about your game, playing the tight end position. You were out at UCLA, and, you know, just to get to this point, having this opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I love playing this game, especially at the tight end. And I feel like, you know, I do well at everything being asked to be a tight end in this game and age. You know, being a tight end, I can get down, put my hand down, play in line, but then also I can, you know, put me in the slot, flex me out, and I can, you know, do some good things in the pass game. So, you know, I'm glad I, you know, coach took, you know, this chance and this opportunity for me, you know, to go out and showcase my, you know, what I can do and, you know, help the Saints in any way I can.
Mo, do you have a favorite route that you like to run, whether it's in line or whether you're split out as the H?
Real answer is any route that I get the ball, but I love running that cell route, any outbreaking routes. Those are my favorites.
Well, I mean, I like the real answer. I mean, any route that you can get the ball, that's the route you like, but nothing wrong with the cell, you know, just being able to take advantage of the speed, the quickness, and being able to set that safety or linebacker up.
Oh, yeah.
Maliki, Mike Dettillier, first of all, congratulations. And I remember we doing our prep work for LSU pregame. You guys came to Tiger Stadium. It was a hot day that day. When the Bruins came down to Baton Rouge. But everything clicked for you this year. You know, and sometimes in a career, it's never that steady road. Go to Oregon, maybe didn't get all those opportunities. But, man, it really clicked. And what was the main thing for you this year? You led the team in receptions.
To have a breakout season.
To have that big year for the Bruins.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, a testament to the coaches that were brought in to help me, but also just I wanted to go out and really prove that, you know, because my dream was to get to this point, and now my dream is, you know, to play as long as I can. So it's just being able to, you know, stay disciplined, work my tail off, and just, you know, never getting complacent where I was at. So I just was able to, you know, stack great days on great days. And, you know, when I had my bad days, I was able to bounce back and just, you know, take it all in and make sure, you know, I'm at least trying to get 1% better. And that's what I think really helped me this past year.
Now, Mo, looking at your size, you know, 6'6", basically at 265, 260, whatever, and that, you know, a lot of this day and age, I'm a pass receiving tight end. Boy, you know what? If you can work on this, if you can run block and you can add that to your repertoire, I'll tell you that'll go a long way because you're not little. So what do you think you have to do going forward as far as where the coaches can count on you as a run blocker? That, okay, we want to get you the ball, We want you also to be like that glorified tackle, a tight end, and we can count on you and run block it.
Yeah, definitely just have to take pride in, you know, ownership. You know, if I want to get the ball, I got to show that I can, especially now, you know, go down, block the C-gap, especially against these good pass rushers and, you know, edges in the NFL. So just basically honing in on, you know, that part of my game and just, you know, emphasizing it a little bit more and just making sure, you know, that I'll be there and I'll be a reliable guy for, you know, for this team.
Maliki, one of the things in the transfer from Oregon to UCLA, was that just a situation where you wanted a better opportunity to play? Was there a connection maybe with a coach that maybe tried to recruit you out of high school in the Nevada area? So that transfer from Oregon to UCLA, what was the main factor there? And was it just more of an opportunity to play there at UCLA?
Yeah, it was just definitely, like you said, it was an opportunity. I wanted to go show more than just one area of my game. So I wanted to be able to expand, you know, show everyone watching, you know, my game is more than just what I was being asked to do at Oregon. So just basically, yeah, like you said, you know, for, you know, a new opportunity to go out and show my game.
Maliki, this is Mike Haas. I do the radio play-by-play for the Saints. First off, congratulations. I mean, you knew going in, despite the great year that you had at UCLA, this was an enormously heavy tight end draft. And it was. It played out, right? I think you were the 14th, 15th tight end taken. Knowing that going in, what was this weekend like for you with so many tight ends that you knew were out there?
You know, it was like I've always, you know, approached everything. It's just, you know, I had, you know, there was a great tight ends ahead of me, great tight ends, you know, in this draft. And it was just more like, I know what my game is. I know once I get that opportunity to get my name called, I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to go in and compete. And I'm never going to be complacent where I'm at. I'm just going to go and compete and, you know, play this game that I love. And, you know, there's nothing better than the game of football.
Mo, did the Saints work you out individually? Was there an inkling that the Saints might have had an interest in you and could have picked you in this draft class?
No, I never got a workout, but I was able to have meet with Coach Haslett at the combine, and then, you know, we had a Zoom, and, you know, he stayed in touch, had some phone calls, and, you know, he showed real interest, and, you know, he kept it real with me, and I can, you know, I have respect for people, you know, keep everything honest and real, and, you know, I could definitely tell that he had some, you know, interest and, you know, led me to, you know, thinking, you know, eventually I might have had a shot with the Saints, so.
Oh, have you played, I don't recall this, any special teams throughout your career, either at Oregon or at UCLA?
Yeah, both Oregon and UCLA, I've played on, you know, kickoff return, you know, up back, and then I've played as a PP on the punt team at both Oregon and UCLA. So, yeah, I've played quite a few special team reps.
Well done. Has to be a great day,
man,
for you, man. We're
congratulations,
very happy for you.
Mo, man. And we thrilled for you. And that's one area we could use here in the Saints. We could use another tight end.
Yeah, so, Mo, are you coming to town and getting involved? The OTAs right around the corners, all the rookies getting together. Now, it's going to be a little hotter than it is out on the West Coast.
No, but he was in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, so So, well, when are you coming to town? Is it?
Well, he's on quarter system too.
Yeah.
So I'm all done and graduated. So I'll get my flight information soon, and I'm, you know, in the very near future I'll be heading down to New Orleans. So I'll be ready.
And Mo, I'm just curious, what do you know about this Kellen Moore offense? Because I sure know he loves his tight ends.
I know, especially watching from a film with Coach Haslett, that we definitely love the tight end. So I'm just ready. Whatever he asks me to do, I'm going to go out, perform, and do my best. So I'm excited.
Mo, we got a tradition here with the Who Dat Nation. The Cajun Cannon's going to break it all down for you about your first initiation, I guess you said, in black and gold. You could say in black and gold here.
Yeah, now you're coming into a special group. You know, the Chiefs have their kingdom, but we have our nation. We the Who Dat Nation. So you have to give us a couple little, like, Who Dat? Who Dat? Let me hear it. Give me a couple little Who Dats to get the Who Dat Nation excited.
Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat?
Oh, all yeah. Right. All right. Yeah. Got it.
Well done.
Well done, as a triple.
That's right. good start.
Great stuff, Maliki Matavayo. Look forward to seeing you at Rookie Minicamp, and congratulations, man. Have a great rest of the evening.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Interesting stuff, right, when you think about this draft. 9 picks, 5 on defense, 4 on offense. It was 4-4 in the last pick. No position got picked more than once. They picked 9 different positions.
And that welcome to the Big Easy interview brought to you by Bud Light. Drink and enjoy Bud Light. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll wrap things up, waiting for Coach Kellen Moore to address the media as well. So stay tuned right here on the TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest on WWL.